Kevin and Bean. Janky things are gonna happen. Outside my window, put something up behind the trees to listen to Kevin and Bean and everything that we could stream. And it's put something up outside my window pane.
Edwin from La Mirada here.
Are you on Cesira?
Boingo Boingo?
Eddie!
This is Ghosty!
Why did I write it this way? This is wrong.
We're keeping it.
We're starting from the top. 3, 2, 1, go!
Put something up outside my window. Put something up behind the trees. So listen to Kevin and me and all the things that we can stream. And it's put something up outside my window.
Because I said quitters never give up, and he said, that's all they do.
Oh, yeah. What's up, party people? It's Quitters Never Give Up, number 36. It is Rocktober. I got Lindsay Jen Buckshot here with me. Shall we get started with the podcast roundup?
Nailed it.
Ow, ow.
You get it, Edwin. You want her to promote your podcast. We got it.
Say hello to happy goodbye to the blue. Janky
podcast. Roundup.
I'm going to start off with Janky Town episode 59 titled Slice Alone, Bitch. Both Dave and Beer Mug were in Vegas and they recapped their trips to Vegas. Beer Mug had this to say about Vegas.
Fuck Vegas is what I'm trying to say.
So Beer Mug is angry. Of course, and he's angry mainly because he got a ding in his door. Someone hit his car door and put a little ding in it, and he was so angry. This is the way he describes when he came home.
So I took it to my guy the very next day. That's how like much it was like pissing me off. So I call him. He's like, yeah, you know. I sent him a picture. He's like,
hey, Muggs, are
right
you making a sandwich right now?
What is he doing?
What? That is so weird.
I'm like,
he's literally,
is he baking a cake?
He's literally
like,
making a sandwich. He's got his mustard right there. That was amazing, Muggs.
Yeah.
That's wow, amazing. He's a great multitasker.
Well, at least he's not leading the story right
now.
No,
you know? But he like that dude didn't even skip a beat. He was like cooking and everything and telling the story. That was impressive, Muggs. Wow.
Thank you. I can multitask.
That's crazy.
But yeah, Beer Mug was so angry he made a sandwich. That was what I took away from there. He was just fuming. He had to have.
You ever been
sandwich.
So mad? Yeah, I just had to make a sandwich.
Yeah.
I've been so mad I had to dance, but I'll make a sandwich.
But I understand the frustration. When you're parked somewhere, because I kind of do the same thing. I park away from other people and make sure I'm, you know. And yeah, sure enough, there's a goddamn door ding. It's like, really? I mean, I get the question.
Yeah, I get it too. But it's just fun hearing Beer Mug a little upset or playing up angry. Then Dave actually spent 2 weeks in Vegas. He did Red Rocks and a whole bunch of off the strip stuff. But he did go to a concert. He went to an Olivia Rodrigo concert, who my little kids really love for some reason. But two moms got into a fight in the pit. Let's hear Dave recap it.
And little did I know what's happening in the pit of Olivia Rodrigo. There's these two moms who start just throwing blows in the Olivia Rodrigo concert, throwing punches during the song Driver's License, which is possibly one of her slowest songs. But here's the sad thing. There was a little girl in there. And she starts throwing blows.
And normally Omar would be pretty happy or excited or something. But when you hear Dave talk about the fight, you see Omar's not too into it. Probably because he has little girls.
Look at, look right here. Look at,
oh, man.
They're there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that little girl. She's throwing punches.
Holy crap. Well,
the little girl. She's seven. But the guy singing is the best part.
You gotta start them young. Yeah, the guy is funny right there. Wow, that's incredible,
oh
man.
Oh,
my
God. But, then Muggs, I just drove home like you, but with music and
no door ding.
Not angry with no door ding. So, yeah, man, I survived 2 weeks Vegas. That was insane.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. 2 weeks Vegas, big fight. Notre Dame.
With Notre Dame.
Yep. Then they had Sylvester Stallone talking about the Expendables, and as we all know, Expendables have a lot of louds. Sly Stallone came on like this.
Sylvester Stallone, who joins us on the phone right now, guys. Surprise,
what?
Surprise.
How do we get him? How do we get him?
I got the special hookup. Hey, Sly.
How you guys doing? How's it going?
Sly, how you doing, man? What's new?
I'm doing good, you know. It's like, so good to talk to, you know, guys from, like, Janky Town, you know, because that's like... It's like Philadelphia, you know? It's like where Rocky came from. It's like Janky.
But Omar starts right away throwing shade at Sylvester Stallone.
How much longer can you continue to do these movies? I mean, you got to be in your 70s and all this plastic surgery is looking weird. You have like permanent surprise face going on.
Hey, you're being very rude right now, okay? It's like I come on your show to talk about, you know, like movies. I say something nice to you about your show, and then all of a sudden you call me and you're like, what's going on with your face? What's wrong with that?
Well,
What's wrong with you? What kind of
interview
are you? That's
all Omar, Sly. That's not Dave or Beer Mug. That's all Omar.
You just said it.
Okay. All right, Sly. I apologize. I truly apologize.
Way to go.
I am so sorry.
Yeah. You guys see
any? How great was it to hear Ralph on Janky Town?
And then one last thing on Janky Town is Beer Mug doesn't prep.
Those are all the penis stories.
What are you talking about?
Oh, there's more. You're right.
Hey, Mugs. Okay, Dave, tell him more.
Did you or did you not send Mugs or send a message to our chat saying, hey, Mugs, it might behoove you to reread these?
Yeah, I totally thought there was one. Okay, we got another one. I'm sorry. You ready?
Mugs, this is what I wrote. I wrote, Mugs, there are really funny penis stories, about four. Pretty quick, but we'd be beneficial to do a pre-read on these.
Yeah. I thought the four was a one. I thought the four kind of looked like a one.
Okay. It's clearly a four. You know, it's clearly a four, though.
So, yeah, well, listening to that, the one thing I kept hearing in my head was this.
I need you to read through these stories in your head before you tell them.
So we need Lindsay to ride shotgun on them.
Yeah, they do need Lindsay on that show.
I'm in.
All right, on the Kevin and Sluggo show, there was a emo from the social media department came in to talk about the Kelvin and Sluggo show.
And I think Friday or Saturday, I don't know when it was, but she misspelled my name.
I knew this was what it was going to be about. I knew I was going to be roasted for this.
You don't know where I'm going.
Okay. Kelvin, right?
Okay. Kelvin.
You're Kelvin now.
Kelvin
with an
and
L.
Sluggo with an L, yes.
I almost didn't catch it. Yeah.
Almost didn't catch it. And I was like, wait, what? There's an L in my name? That's the weirdest thing ever. Kevin is not a difficult name to spell. So nothing wrong with making a mistake.
Yes.
Leave it up.
Yeah, never fix it.
In the future, if I start making fun of it, you got to leave it up.
That made me think of the Galvin story. Do you guys remember Galvin? You don't remember Galvin?
Someone got a tattoo of Bush, right? And misspelled the name. Is that the one?
Let me play the clip of Kevin and Bean talking about it.
What's the famous Breakfast with Bush story that we'd like to tell, Kevin?
We were doing Breakfast with Bush. Gavin Rosdale was on the stage. We were out in the crowd, and this girl said, look, I love you so much, Gavin. I have your name tattooed here. And I looked at it, and it was spelled G-A-L-V-I-N. Oh, my God. And I said, I don't think his name is Galvin. And he started laughing, and Bean laughed, and the crowd laughed. And she's like, oh, she had it spelled wrong. Can you
didn't
imagine?
Know it.
Didn't know it. Big fan. Just thought she was, you know, praising the guy.
Oh, my gosh.
Had his name spelled wrong. So that's all good.
I remember listening to that in the morning and laughing my ass off. How could you get a tattoo of somebody's name and misspell it?
Wait, and she showed it to him, right? Wasn't that how it came out?
Yeah, she showed it to him.
How embarrassing.
Well, Kevin's got some nerve criticizing anyone's spelling or grammar.
But true. At least he spelled the guy's name right. I don't know.
Kevin's tattoos are spelled right.
How many times do you think Kevin has tweeted and misspelled his own name? Let's be fair here. Or texted.
100%.
He makes fun of it too. Yeah, that was a pretty funny story. I remember laughing my ass off at that story. All right, moving on to the Ralph Report. A couple news items. This came in about R. Kelly.
Hey, this is the best news. I kind of buried the lead, but I thought it was worthwhile waiting because I wanted to savor it. I don't know if you saw it yesterday or not, but R. Kelly found guilty. guilty of everything. All counts in his federal sex crimes trial.
How many counts is it? Do you know?
I do. 9 federal counts,
ooh,
including racketeering, sex crimes, human trafficking, obstruction of justice, and kidnapping.
Oh, he's done.
Yeah, so that's an awesome story. All it needed was the Family Guy guilty.
Guilty!
Any excuse to play
drums.
How
long has this R. Kelly stuff been going on?
A while.
Back in the old days, I remember hearing about the trial where they had a videotape, and they still didn't convict him, so they finally got him. Good.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely, they're talking about it, 2007, 2008.
Yeah.
Same thing. And then the Britney conservatorship also 2007, 2008. So it's fine. I think she's finally free of hers. And then he's finally going to jail. Very long time ago.
That is a cool thing about listening to old shows now. You hear something like that and then you know how it ends.
Exactly.
That's true.
All right. Ralph had another news story.
Well, we got a new man joining the manhunt for Brian Laundry. Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Oh, thank God.
He has announced he's getting into the mix because he wants to bring this man to justice.
Oh, good.
And he was seen by reporters this week at the home of Brian Laundry, knocking on the door. Now, here's the thing. Brian Laundry, it's been documented, has been in the wilderness. They've seen him in canyons. They've seen him on nature
trails. Dog went to his house.
Dog started at his house.
Ground zero.
Knocking on the door.
Brian, you in there?
This guy's he's sharp.
So he's just doing this to get the publicity.
He's a regular James Bond. Wow. This guy is. If you have any tips, he would like you to call him at
or call the police.
833. No,
call the police.
Call Dog.
Let's call the police.
He's got guy. Come on, guy needs a new series.
Does he?
Yeah, Dog the Bounty Hunter's on the case. Dog just makes me laugh. Looking at his ass, he's just ridiculous. But,
I can go to the guy's house when he's not there and knock.
Well, but you can't get the news people to go to the wilderness to look for him. It's easier to get him to go to his house. Yeah, he needs a new show. Anyhow, last week I predicted a story was going to be talked about on the podcast.
And that's what my point is. You take your chances when you're watching wild animals.
Right.
They didn't ask to be put behind glass. And they're not going to change their behavior for you just because you're watching.
They
might act up a little bit more when you're watching.
They don't have the weird hangups we do.
They certainly don't. And they certainly didn't in this case. Great ape fellatio is what they're calling it.
And the funniest part about that whole clip to me is the reaction. The whole crowd reaction. We could hear Ralph talking about the crowd reacting.
Oh, no.
It's like the Hindenburg audio from the 1930s. The great ship is coming in to dock. Humanity. No. Oh, no, I can't.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a teachable moment, I think.
I think so, too.
That's a teachable moment.
Daddy, what are the gorillas doing?
The best part to me is the one guy that's like, oh, no. And you keep hearing him like, oh, no, don't look. Meanwhile, he's still there. I don't know. I would have had my kids way out of that enclosure a long time ago. I would have been gone.
Was anyone else getting a Pippa flashback? That's what I was thinking. Very similar reactions. At first, oh, and then, oh, horror.
Yeah, I guess. But I can hear it now. Then Ralph recapped the one movie love scene that he had, and that was in What Price Victory?
I did a movie with Mac Davis.
Oh, you did?
Early in my career.
Oh.
Called What Price Victory.
Oh.
About high school football.
Oh.
And he played the high school football coach.
What'd you play?
I played a high school student.
Yes.
Who was with the girl of the star of the film.
Uh-huh.
Cheating behind his back.
Oh.
I was
a star on the football team?
Yeah.
You're some greaser who just stole his girl.
And I was the bad boy of high school who was macking out with his girlfriend in a pickup truck there in Texas.
Right.
Yeah.
Good for you.
My first ever love scene. And maybe, now that I think of it,
your only love scene
I've ever acted in. I remember in that scene they had me in one of those snap-up Western shirts.
Yeah.
Instead of buttons, they had snaps on it.
Yeah, you brought your own, right?
No.
From your Western dance days?
From my urban cowboy face.
You're the wardrobe, like, hey, I got this.
No, this was from the costuming department.
Too. Okay.
And the girl that I was performing with,
yeah,
opposite, she was very enthusiastic.
Oh.
And she did one of those things where she pop, 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 where she just ripped the shirt off and all the snaps off. I got a little bit of a boner.
I bet you would.
I wasn't supposed to. I was acting. Oh, it was totally. She surprised me with it.
Yeah.
I felt a little violated, quite frankly.
Violated.
But that's my most vivid memory of that.
Yeah, we got to find that movie. I've been wanting to see it. Ralph can't find it. No one can find it.
So. Oh, we totally need to do like a Ralph movie watching week. Where we find all his old movies. There's got to be a way.
It has to be.
Yeah.
A Ralph video vault. That'd be cool. All right, moving on to a cup of tea in a chat. Bean made a mistake about Ted Lasso, and it didn't end well.
Some of our favorite shows have wrapped up since we last spoke, Allie, including the season finale of Ted Lasso. Now, I don't think we talked about...
Wait.
Yeah.
No.
I think that was 10th episode was the last one, wasn't it?
No, Bean.
So Bean screwed up. Right, Eddie?
The funny thing is, before they even finished that sentence, Bean corrected himself, or Allie corrected him, and yet people pulled off the road and started calling and complaining about it. On 147, they played clips of people who were mad. I love that. Yeah. They couldn't even wait. They paused the podcast, pulled off, and called in.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that like Ted Lasso, and they're very passionate about it. Like, football is life. Ted Lasso is life. Anyhow, Donna came into the studio with a mystery pug.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
What just happened?
Well, mystery pug jumped up on the desk and just knocked over my iced tea, and it's everywhere. And it's everywhere. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Let's see if we get shorted out as we try to finish up this show. What a mess.
She
came in and she brought, you know, everybody followed her in. So
sure,
he just jumped up and grabbed a cord. And oh, my God, that's a mess. Hey, want to do some phone calls? Shall I pretend I'm not on the Titanic right now and drowning and just the show must go on?
This is the weirdest show we've ever done.
It's a very weird show. It'll be a miracle if this works.
Yeah. So Mystery Pug tried to electrocute Bean. That reminded me of this drop.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
But I think this is a long line of the pugs trying to kill Bean. So that might be something that we might want to look into later.
I was thinking of the time the cat came into the studio and bit him on the foot.
Yeah.
This was a continuing theme. The animals are attacking.
They do a segment about the first time you feel old, and they've been doing that as a long-running subject.
One of my students asked me, hey, teacher, didn't the original Jurassic Park come out in, like, the 1900s? To which I had to say, yes. Yes, it did come out, in fact, in the 1900s. To which he said, and you were alive then?
Oh, my God.
To which I said, yes, I was alive then. Thank you. Goodbye.
I mean, the 1900s makes it sound like a really long time ago, but it is.
I hate it. Yeah. I was born in the 1900s, so were you, Bean.
I know.
Yep, the 1900s. Those were the days.
Well, to be fair, the 1900s lasted 100 years, so. But still, I get what she's saying.
Yeah.
And then going along with this, Bean recapped a story where he was talking to a host on his podcast radio.
Right. One of the fellow presenters, is named Kavita. She's a lovely young woman. So I'm having a conversation sitting around the table, and one of the guys was at Live Aid, and she looks up and she says, what's Live Aid? And I thought, she wasn't born when Live Aid happened.
So you know what that means? It's time to play another round of Does Lindsay Know?
Does Lindsay Know? Does Lindsay Know? Always action to the ammo.
All right, Edwin. Does Lindsay know what Live Aid is?
Yes, she will know.
Jen?
I say yes, she'll know.
I don't think so, because this person was about the same age as Lindsay. And so I don't think Lindsay will know.
Okay, so I did hear this clip on a cup of tea in a chat, and I didn't look it up, but I thought to myself, is Live Aid... Okay, So in the Queen movie, isn't that where they're performing Live Aid? So it's a concert to benefit. Is it like an AIDS type of thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I, being born in the 1900s, I think it was typically like I wouldn't have known until something like the Queen movie. So I have to say I do, I guess.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Lindsay knows. Yay. Yay. Correction on the Live Aid. It is a benefit concert for famine, not AIDS. But we'll give it to you.
I'm still going to give it to you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have known that either.
Okay. I'm wondering what the hell's going on with Bean.
Man, I'm in love with the convenience of where we live in the city. The fact that in 5 minutes, if I need a haircut or I need to go to a chiropractor, or I need to buy dog food, or if I need to go to the hospital, whatever I need to do is five Bean. Minutes away.
All great examples.
Oh, wow.
I'm shocked. Totally shocked.
You thought I was going
to
say.
I was waiting for if I have to buy a stick of gum to fix something underneath my chair to hold on. Like, I was expecting something crazy.
Well,
those were great.
I am going to the shoehorn store, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, four great examples right in a row. That was, what the hell's going on with Bean?
You're right. Somebody I've noticed recently on the show, he's been giving good examples. I'm with you. What is going on?
And lastly, this call.
Hi, Ali and Bean. This is Teabagger Hans from the LBC, and I need some medical advice.
All right.
I saw Devo this weekend, and I think my mind was blown. What do I do?
All right. You saw Devo, and you need to know what to do next. Sir, I want you to just look down, and then I want you to whip it, and then I want you to whip it good. Sorry, we're
out of time. So, Edwin, you're calling now under the name of Hans? Is that what happened?
Oh, I wish that had been me. That's a missed opportunity.
But yeah, Bean saying whip it good was just brilliant to me. Mm-hmm. All right, the week that was.
Press the button.
Edwin!
Send me back into time.
One, two, three.
It's a new day.
So begin at the beginning.
Our feature presentation.
Week that was.
2012. So we're doing the week that was. This is September 27 to October 1st, 2010. Wait a minute. October 1st? October 1st, what does that mean?
Rabbit.
I gotta look for my clips. That means it was the 1st of October. Right? That works, right?
Okay,
absolutely. Maybe I don't get it. As we go along, perhaps I can get some better clips than that.
You want me to try? You want me to try?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh,
go ahead.
It's the 1st of Rocktober. Oh, shit. That fucked up. I found that clip and I can't stop laughing.
No goofing off, guys. 1st of Rocktober. Okay, well, we're going to work on that. Okay, back in the week that was, the big deal was Sharktopus finally premiered on the Sci-Fi Channel. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to play the actual clips from Sharktopus and contrast them with, remember Ralph made like a demo reel to try to get the job. So let's start off with what Ralph did to get the attention of the producers of Sharktopus.
Come on, you son of a bitch! Come and get me! Damn you, Sharktopus!
Okay, so that's how Ralph pitched himself. Now the real movie came out, let's see what it sounded like.
There's no way a shark, octopus, fishy thingy really exists.
Well, I hope you're right.
Trust me, okay? There is no such thing as a sharktopus.
Very similar. I think Ralph should have got a writer's credit on Sharktopus. Well, if he wanted it.
I missed the damn you Sharktopus. That should have been in the movie.
It was. It just was, he was doing like an air check.
Yeah, let me see. I think I got that. Hold on one sec.
I wish there was another way. I'm sorry. This is our only hope. Damn you Sharktopus!
Yeah, so that's when the actual movie, he got that death scene in and he got the damn you Sharktopus in.
You've actually seen the movie, Lindsay?
No, I don't think so, but I've definitely seen his scene. You haven't?
I haven't seen the movie. I've seen the scene, I think, but I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. And we reviewed it. We also reviewed Sharktopus on an earlier episode, his submission for it. So I think I pulled the whole clip. I think it's on YouTube or something like that for an Instagram post.
Okay. Part of the Ralph video vault.
Oh yeah, that's another one that's going to go in the Ralph video vault. Now, Ralph was on vacation in 2010 because he was filming Red State with Kevin Smith. I think Kevin was on vacation and we discovered Victor Fuentes. I think Beam was on vacation and we found Antoine Dodson. For some reason, things just keep happening, even if people are on vacation. But I like this clip because Ralph wasn't there to do voices. Now, they did a story about a Vegas hotel that was built in such a way that it focused the sun on a certain area by the pool, and it was burning people. It was so hot. So some of the B-teamers stepped up to add voices to this. I thought it was very funny.
Believe we've got an employee of the hotel on the phone with us right now here on the Kevin Amin Show. Hello, sir.
Thank you for calling Vidara Hotel. How can we make your stay better here in Las Vegas today?
Are you out at the pool?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. Excellent. We were just talking or telling our listeners about the story about the Las Vegas death ray. I'm sure you know all about that working at the Vidara.
Well, yeah, we've had some of the people in the local media come out and interview the staff and things. I mean, and look, it is hot here in Las Vegas. When you come out to the pool, you're going to experience some heat. But as far as the death ray, I don't know anything about that. That seems a little
you
extreme.
You haven't heard about that?
Does the sun focus in a particular spot? More than others?
Not that I can tell. Like I said, I mean, it's just overall hot out here, and some people do.
Oh, no.
Oh,
hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hi, what happened to the guy on the phone?
What's going on? Can you tell me what's going on? I just walked by and found this on his phone.
We were talking to a guy about the death ray at the swimming pool.
I don't know.
The sun focusing in the spot.
It's hot out here. I'm out here in my bikini, but I don't understand. Oh, my God!
Well, that's terrible. We just lost the way he was laughing.
Hello?
Who's this?
I found this phone. What is this?
We're a radio station in Los Angeles, and we're calling. You're at the Vidara?
Yeah.
At the pool?
Yeah.
Does it feel unusually hot to you?
It's hot as hell out here, but what, you know, it's Vegas.
It is Vegas, yeah.
This is
the death ray is apparently, it's like a magnifying glass where it makes it even hotter than people can stand at some locations around the pool.
Come on.
Kind of a silent death. I don't know what happened there.
Hello?
Sweet, a phone.
Hello?
What? Hello?
Hey, we're calling about the death ray.
What death ray?
Maybe you should. Can't you see all the bodies?
Is that your best non-mic voice?
What? That's Dave. I think it's Dave.
Hello,
Dave.
Come on, Kevin.
You gotta pay attention. Sir at Las Vegas at the pool, can't you see all those bodies laying around? Have you not noticed that?
I just kicked this phone with my water socks on, so... you know, I just picked it up, and you guys were on the line.
Okay. Is it particularly hot right there?
Yeah, it's a little toasty, but, you know, we get through it. It's Vegas.
That's good.
Right. So, it's nice guys.
Yeah. Just canning out here.
Right, sure.
Yeah, GTL. All right. I want Dave to keep talking, so I'm not going to hit the sound effect. Did someone just tell me?
He's going. Let's make Dave ad-lib. There you go.
So that might have been Chip's first ever on-air appearance. So I like that. Ralph was gone, so they went to the bench, and they did not disappoint, if you ask me. Okay, well, another thing that happened, this was just before the beginning of Rocktober. Never was a cornflake girl. Better, more rocky, right? Did I get it, guys?
You are rocking hard, Eddie.
Okay, I'm going to keep working on that. They had Trent Reznor coming to studio because he did the score for The Social Network, the movie about Facebook. It's kind of funny, though, because here's Trent. You know he's a very serious guy. And Bean's kind of he's doing Bean stuff.
You're used to coming up with music with something out of nothing. And now you've got a movie, and it kind of has to fit what's on the screen, and it has to fit the director's vision, and that's very different.
I'll tell you what was cool about that is I really enjoyed working under somebody.
You did?
Yeah. I loved having...
that's not what he meant. Go ahead.
For a minute, I forgot where I was. I thought I was having a rational discussion with adults.
So Bean yucking it up, Reznor, he went along with it. And then this is such a quintessential Bean moment. You're going to love this one. They were talking more about the soundtrack.
I noticed when I was listening to the soundtrack last night, Trent, as I was thinking about this morning, I heard a melody I recognized. In the Hall of the Mountain King is a classical piece, right?
Yeah.
From Edvard Grieg. And by the way, you may not appreciate this. I've been to Mr. Grieg's burial site. I've been to the mountain that he is buried on in Norway, which is I recommend. It's a tremendous vacation destination. But
that's a terrible story.
I'm just saying, who gets buried in a mountain looking out over the ocean? It's pretty cool.
That is not a good story, is what I'm saying. I wouldn't have told that.
I'm sorry. I got to stand up for Bean. That was a song that was on the soundtrack, and he recognized it. It was a little bit of a speed bump, I do admit. But it was relevant, though. So, okay, so Trent Reznor was in. Then the next day, it turned out to be Rocktober 1st. No?
Right.
Okay. I'm still working on it. The only reason I brought this in, because I think it was my email, but I'm not positive. But still, that won't stop me from taking the glory.
And finally, before celebrity birthdays, here's a PS to our earlier conversation about the Buffer Brothers. And listener Eddie makes a phenomenal suggestion, Kevin. You need to trademark "What Did You Do?" like right now. Because it is already taken off. It's already on ringtones, and people are talking about putting it on t-shirts. I mean, what did you do? It could be your thing.
You do?
Every time somebody asks, "What did you do?"
We would have to.
What did you do?
We would have to figure out how to spell it, first of all.
What did you do?
I know it has a J in it. That's the only thing I know about it.
What did you do?
That would be a problem, figuring out how do you spell the way Kevin said, "What did you do?"
I think interesting. Lindsay had a good spelling for it on one of our episodes, right?
Oh, yeah. It's, I don't remember now.
Okay, we'll look that up. Maybe we could trademark it since Kevin never got around to it. Celebrity birthdays that week. And it was the 1st of October. Rocktober! Better?
No, go back. Go back to the Chipmunks.
That's the only Chipmunk song I have. Couple of interesting celebrity birthdays. Let's start with Fran Drescher. A very famous clip, and they kind of give the background to the whole story, so I'm going to play that.
The makeover of the night on the red carpet. Fran Drescher joining us up here. You know, we were talking as you were coming up that you've done a movie with Pierce Brosnan before, The Beautician and the Beast. Did you ever imagine he'd end up being a James Bond?
I didn't. Pierce Brosnan was not in Beautician and the Beast.
Really?
I think I'm going to get back on the line.
Smart idea.
That was awesome.
May not have been. Well, first of all, there were two things wrong with that. One is I was talking about the wrong actor.
Right.
Okay, one. And two is makeover the night is my way of saying, wow, you're usually so ugly,
yes. But
you cleaned up and look okay today.
It was a backhanded compliment.
That was harsh.
Makeover the night.
Everyone knows what that means. Yes.
Like, out of all the people we've seen, you cleaned up.
honestly, there's no way it could have been more insulting to Miss Fran Drescher. I'm sorry about that.
And by the way, we're not exaggerating. She literally just walked right back down.
Yeah, she did. That was the end of that. Yeah. That's true.
So our apologies to Fran Drescher. But there's the background on that clip. They played it a lot over the years. Another birthday in Rocktober. No, I think I messed up again. Another birthday in Rocktober was S.A. Morales. I always love that clip. And Meatloaf.
And singer Meatloaf is 69 today. Edwin, one of our favorite listeners, Edwin, writes in and said, yes, it's true. Meatloaf is not the singer he once was, but he still has charisma and stage presence. He said that he always had.
Okay.
So he guesses that 2 out of 3 ain't bad, he said.
Nope.
<We're> good.
Go right to hell.
You go right to hell, Edwin.
I love that because of the disgust in Kevin and Allie's voice. And that's the week that was in 2010, the 1st of Rocktober. Back to you, Steve.
Oh, by the way, there is a chipmunk smoke on the water. That's enough of that.
Yeah.
Moving on to the flashback that needs no introduction with Jen.
I have a 3-part series today.
Country music blows.
Wrong.
And to prove it,
Alan Jackson has just celebrated his 50 millionth album.
Doesn't blow for him.
He is a giant.
To celebrate, he had a big party in Nashville last Wednesday where guests dined on grits and bologna sandwiches.
No way.
They know how to party.
They sure do, those country Fs.
Ralph's not a big fan of the country music or the country artists.
You see, the bologna sandwiches, Kevin, were a nod to the song on his latest album called I Still Like Bologna.
He didn't.
Screw you.
He did not do a song
you
called.
You son of a bitch.
He did not do I Still Like Bologna.
If anyone wrote a song called I Still Like Bologna,
there's no way.
They would be laughed out of any decent musical arena in these United States of America. That
His
didn't
new
happen. Hit, I Still Like Bologna.
Not possible.
Die.
It's not possible.
He is a tremendous singer, songwriter, entertainer. Alan Jackson really is cream of the crop, Ralph. I mean, this is a novelty song. This is a silly novelty song, but the dude has done some real country music standards.
You know that we're talking about Bean's a guy who wrote a song called I Still Like Bologna.
Yeah. I know. It's
being
kind
the
of
first
a
guy to slam Paul McCartney into the ground head first when he comes up with a song like Freedom or something, which at least which is a horrible song, but at least it's about people being free.
Sure.
The topic of the song at least has some value to it, as opposed to I Still Like Bologna.
Not interesting.
Oh, he's a classic. He's done so many wonderful things. Oh, wow, I love Alan Jackson. Oh, I wish you would just take a big dump in his 10-gallon hat and put it on my head.
This is a silly kind of a novelty fun song, but he's done a lot of tremendous efforts.
Will you shut up?
Okay. Anthony Kiedis is a huge fan of one particular artist.
Alan Jackson?
No one knew how much of a fan he was until he was backstage at this singer's concert in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Does he like bologna too?
He doesn't like bologna, but he loves Bob Dylan.
Yeah, well, sure. Well, I think all artists do.
Anthony Kiedis and Bob Dylan. That
all right.
Is
it's the request.
Oh,
it's the request.
All right.
I have an issue request where I would like Bob and Anthony to be working on an album together.
Anthony, what do you like the best about Bob Dylan?
Wackadang, smackadoo, stick dack the wackadang, California.
And Bob, how do you feel the same way?
And again.
Yes, as the cosmos took a wackadang the dang, ooh, 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 bak doom.
Yeah,
skip down the bangadang.
That's the conversation backstage at the
best conversation
concert.
I've ever heard.
Yeah, doesn't surprise me at all.
That was brilliant.
Yeah, they just did it right on the fly. That was great.
Oh, I've got more. But wait, there's more.
Kevin, what's going on with our friend Bob Dylan?
Well, last week, remember Ralph was telling us that, Bob Dylan, first of all, is the hero of many, many musicians.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, everybody looks up to Bob Dylan.
Sure.
And Ralph did a story last week where Anthony Kiedis is a huge fan and apparently was stepping over people's corpses to get up to the front row.
Like kicking babies to get near,
stuff like that.
To see the stage.
Get up there and he could watch him closely. So we thought we would check in with Bob and just find out, you know, how things are going with him and his theme time lemonade hour, whatever it is he does.
Hey, Bob.
Hey.
How you doing?
Yeah. Getting in there. Getting in there for weekend.
And you as well, my friend. Whatever that was. What about this story? Is it true? Can we count Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers among those musicians who worship you?
Yeah, he's on there. There's the Kiedis. It's fiend.
Anthony Kiedis is?
He's a fiend.
He's a freak?
Yeah. No, Anthony and I are good friends.
Oh, you're good friends.
Yeah.
You and Anthony, you actually know each other. It goes beyond just fan and artist.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, who knew? Oh, I had no idea you were acquainted.
Yeah, he's right here.
He's right there with you now?
Yeah. Walk a
dang dong.
What?
Anthony, they're kidding me.
The cosmos of the rings of Saturn bring together love for green tea.
That's Anthony, all right?
All right. No question, that's it. What are you guys doing hanging out together?
Hey, we're going to have a happy time, country time, lemonade, theme park hour.
California.
Wait, I'm confused here, Bob. You're talking about your radio show now? Anthony is there for your satellite radio show?
Yeah, you know, every week I get five times and get to tell stories about the sun. It's in the back there, then it would only get buzzing.
Smack a dang, boom.
Yeah, I'm not sure what he just said, but Bob does a show where he picks a theme and then he plays music based around that theme and tells stories about
it. That's what I just said.
I didn't hear you. I couldn't make out what you were saying.
Well, what are you and Anthony doing together on the show then? What's your theme this week?
Anthony's co-hosting me because he's his biggest fan.
Whack-a-dang, mozzarella, Coca-Cola, Ayatollah, rock and roller.
All right, I heard mozzarella, Coca-Cola, Ayatollah, rock and roller, but I didn't hear what Bob said. What's the theme?
The theme is dream.
Smack, smack.
is
Rings. Skiddle bebop.
Not helping
anyone. Anyone getting this?
I can understand Anthony very clearly.
Yeah, I can't figure out what Bob is saying.
Rings.
Ding dang dong.
Yes. That's his theme. The letter F. Right. That's it.
That's all I can hear. I'm sorry, Bob.
Is
Smicky dang a dang. Oh, whoa,
whoa, whoa.
What?
All right. Are you saying friends?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
heard,
the theme.
That's all I heard was
friends.
Oh, okay.
Friends forever.
Now you say friends.
Yeah, now. Thanks, Anthony.
Yeah.
All right. What kinds of songs are you playing this week on the show, Bob?
Something like this.
Keep smiling. Whack dang. Smack it on. Waves got on me. Uh-huh. California. Whack dang. Smack it dang. Rip a dough. Fuck a dough.
All right. Anthony, I don't know that yelling California in every song works.
Has so far.
That's true. That's a lovely lady.
Why can't we be friends? Good, good. We be great. We get the walk. Smack it. California.
All right. Hey, Bob.
Making me think.
Bob, do you have any idea what Anthony's saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anthony, California.
Yeah, that's true. Do you have any idea what Bob is saying?
Of course, the idea of love and the solstice of 22 BC brought together by.
What the dance of Bob, Bob, particular.
All right. Yeah. All right.
You two are speaking your own language.
And is it?
Wait a minute. Is that from Saved by the Bell? Is that what you're listening to?
This is not a good partnership.
Hey, what is it?
Oh, good. It takes two.
Sing it. Bob Dylan. What you dang with truck, but dang what we do could do. Kill a bebop.
You finally found the perfect song for Bob.
Anthony, did you say California again?
California.
All right. That's great.
Oh,
dear God.
Friends theme?
Gonna beat this way.
I can't take this.
Get broke.
All right, guys, listen, we gotta go. Right, California, right? We gotta go, but please don't record together, all right? Do that for us. Please do. Wait, Bob, did you just say California?
I
need a Bob Dylan, Anthony Kiedis album. I really want one.
Right?
You know what doesn't rule?
What's that?
I still like bologna. That's what doesn't rule.
Here's the thing. I used to think Bean had good musical taste because he likes so many more bands than I did. I didn't realize at the time that I thought that he likes anyone who puts out a CD.
He has no discriminating taste whatsoever.
He likes everything.
He just likes them because they're shiny. Oh, look, this is new. I look shiny light.
Now, or I dislike 90% of what's released.
Sure.
Or
but
that.
But you buy everything.
But I don't.
Every time we talk about any song, I own that already. Well, in my defense, Alan Jackson, who I know is your current target here, is a tremendously talented country songwriter and singer, and has been for many, many years.
He loves all types of country. Ralph hates all types of country.
Country music blows.
I just love Alan Jackson, and Ralph had a story a couple of days ago that really ticked him off, that Alan Jackson was having a party to celebrate 50 million albums sold, by the
Come
way.
Come on.
And what did he...
As the late Bernie Mac used to say, come on, America!
50 million albums sold, they had a big party, and what caught Ralph's attention is that he served bologna sandwiches at the party as kind of a tribute to his current...
And grits. Don't forget grits. They ate grits, too. You know why? Because they're all country effers.
Why are you bad, America?
As a tribute to his current country smash, I Still Like Bologna. Let's hear a little bit of that.
There's satellite communications... Long distance internet relations.
Are you already out, Ralph?
World's a little faster every day.
Good music.
music?
She wrote a song. Good singing. What else is it? What is there not to like?
That fiddle in the back. I just want to blow him up.
Aren't you out of ideas when you write a song about liking bologna?
No, but can't you tell where he's going with this?
Yes.
Oh, we're moving so fast these days with their fandangled cell phones and the hoop-de-doo computers. Oh, I can see where this is heading.
I know it's all well and good, and I don't embrace it like I should, but I wouldn't want to go backwards even if I could.
Okay, so you don't like the modern times, but you wouldn't go back if you could.
Right.
Where does that leave you, douchebag?
But I still like bologna.
Oh. No. Right there, I'm saying, I'm calling BS.
That is a goddamn awful song.
Come on.
Point, look, it's not one of my favorite Al Jackson songs either, but the point is, he's just using baloney, obviously, to represent simpler times.
Yeah, well, work harder. If you're at that point, say, oh, I'm talking about baloney. This doesn't quite get there.
That's bullshit.
If I want to address this topic, I'm going to have to dig a little deeper.
He's saying, look, I've got the fancy internet, the satellite TV.
Yeah, we heard that. I heard the lyrics. I got it all.
Do you think we don't understand? Honestly.
That song we just played, I was in the room. I just heard it.
It's not like, it's not too deep for us to get. He still likes baloney.
Right, Shyamalan.
On white bread.
On white bread.
Now,
yeah.
Now and then.
Yeah, because I'm a good old boy. I got $90 billion, but I sing about trucks and dogs wearing collars.
And the sound of a whippoorwill down a country road.
He likes the sound of the whippoorwill.
And baloney.
They do love the whippoorwills.
And baloney.
That's the whippoorwills.
You son of you country mother.
The grass between my toes, and that sunset sinking low, and a good woman's love to hold me close.
There you go.
This is a terrible song.
Really is.
I am so tired.
And I sometimes
tired.
Like country, and this is awful.
I am so tired of that country BS, too. It's like, well, we don't need your electric lights and your fancy motor cars. We like things the way they used to be when mail came from ponies and used to have to draw on caves to look at for entertainment. Screw you, all the old times. Just because you live in a trailer on a dirt road, you broke country F's.
Why are you bad, America?
With your car up on blocks. Don't try to sell me on the fact that things were better in 1949.
But
you ass kicking mother effers.
Is it what's worse than that? Is that Alan Jackson is $100 million man? Yeah, I mean, he's probably living on 800 acres or something like that.
But
he has a big mansion.
Guy out there with a shotgun who just kills the whippoorwills as they fly over his building because he has like whippoorwill crap on his Bentley. That's where Alan Jackson's rolling.
It sucked.
I like my 50-inch HD plasma. Feels like they just reach out and grab you. 500 channels at my command.
But,
I finally gave in and got a cell phone.
Wow.
That I hardly ever seen to turn on.
Okay, wait a minute.
Because he's got people.
Lisa, because he likes the simple old country ways.
In 2008.
Growing your own weed in a weed patch behind the shack.
I don't think you can talk about cell phones like they're futuristic.
They broke down and got me them shoes people are wearing.
I guess I never had that much to say.
Oh, then no, shut up.
You have plenty to say about bologna sandwiches.
Stop singing. And I still like bologna on white bread.
All right.
Now and then.
Yeah.
Honestly, Bean, you've got to admit this blows.
I'm telling you, it's not my favorite Alan Jackson.
Stop saying it's not your favorite as if it's okay. It's horrible.
As if it's in the running.
Yeah.
I don't think it's bad.
It's just not my favorite.
I don't think it's that bad. I really don't think it's that bad. I really don't.
Oh, then you're a horrible
taste
in music.
I don't love it. I don't love it, but it's okay.
No, it's not. It's far from okay.
It's really not.
But it's the opposite of okay, actually.
The grass between my toes.
Yeah.
That sunset sinking low.
That's just not good.
And a good woman's love to hold me close.
It sucks.
Okay, that's enough.
Wow, is that bad?
We gotta take a break.
When the sun sets. Like it does every day, you piece of garbage.
Ralph, I'm not kidding. I want you to record the most inane country song ever.
You can't.
We'll put it out. Yeah, how do you parody
How do you parody something like that? When that is real, when that's number one in country, how do you write something that is supposed to make fun of that genre when they beat you to it with I like bologna sandwiches on white bread?
I love how Ralph's head just explodes.
Hold on, guys. I just called DoorDash to order a bologna sandwich. They're at the door. Give me a sec.
This is really in contrast to Ralph on the Ralph Report, who had a country music phase and wore the country music shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And he loved the show Nashville, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
But I see his point, because there was a period in time, or I guess modern country, it's just really bad. Who could forget this wonderful song?
Red Solo Cup.
Yeah.
I fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party.
Just genius.
We've learned that Southern Californians are really snotty about country music.
You get
really,
Red
really
Solo
snotty.
Cup. You get your bologna sandwich. You're all set.
Lindsay, how is it different where you live?
Where I live?
Yeah.
I live in the South, so country music is quite alive and well. And I mean, there are some good country songs. I think the one thing that everybody hated when wanted to rag on was country music. And like, I get it, but at the same time, I think we've all grown up now. And even Ralph has grown up to not really like look down on it. And I think the Taylor Swifts of the world have kind of brought country music to the limelight as well. But yeah, I mean, moving to North Carolina at 18 years old, I was like, oh, wow, this is very different. People like country a lot. People will play country almost exclusively. I have to hear Wagon Wheel one more fucking time.
Well, there's some good country songs, and Ralph knows because he liked country in the 80s. But there is some really bad ones, just like any music. But we can all get behind that we hate Bob Dylan, right? Everybody doesn't like. Yeah, okay. Bob Dylan's awful.
Wait, I found my favorite country song. Right? That's country, right?
This has been a musical journey.
I know,
musical
right?
Journey.
All right, close us out. We got to get out of here.
Hey, all right, that's our show for today. All right, here we go. All right, thank you all for listening. You can email us at quittersnevergiveup@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at QuittersNever or on Instagram at QuittersNeverGiveUp. Leave us a message through Anchor at anchor.com/QuittersNeverGiveUp. That's been our show for this Rocktober.
Yeah!
See you guys later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, everybody.